can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and I'm very happy to be joined by the wonderful Sarah.
Hello, I am happy to be here.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're here. We are talking about some big sort of punchy movies, if you will.
Ooh, punchy.
Punchy. They fly. Lasers or light beams are involved.
Is there actual punching?
There is actual punching. There's lots of actual punching. Mm-hmm. A lot of, you can tell, like, stunt fights.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
To varying degrees of efficiency.
Yeah.
Spandex, you know,
yeah,
the like.
Yeah, nice. Okay.
If you haven't guessed, we are talking about superheroes.
Because what else is out there right now? Lately,
I know.
It's all superhero
we
all the time.
We are flooded by it. Which, also, I went to Disneyland somewhat recently.
Yeah.
And because Disney has acquired Marvel, they have the, like, Marvel characters and all, you
right.
know? Right. And it's a lot. It's going to become a lot bigger, I'm sure, because now that Disney has it, it will never stop.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever, ever.
It's kind of like Star Wars and...
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Just... Wow.
Yeah.
That's all I got. Disney taking over the world.
Exactly. But it's also ironic, because I feel like in a lot of the Marvel films, it's about not having the world being taken over.
Disney is the evil bad guy.
It's true. They need the Avengers to fight Disney.
Yeah.
Because they're always like, oh, these aliens that are coming and taking over our world and telling us what to do. It's like, well.
Now that would be an interesting movie. Would the Avengers fight, like, Mickey?
Yeah. Yeah. A giant Mickey from outer space comes. And then right when you think he's dead, suddenly Minnie appears.
Of course. And she's ticked because.
Yeah. It's her boyfriend.
Nobody messes with her, man.
She would be fierce, though. Well, she has a purse. She'd hit you with
yeah.
it. She'd come out of nowhere. But yeah, as I said, we're talking about superheroes. We are talking about Marvel, specifically Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
That is what is out right now. And yeah, Marvel is taking over the world, mostly because Disney is taking over the world.
Couldn't she have been like a lieutenant or a major? I mean, come on, you're just confusing me with too many captains.
I know. In my notes, I wrote Captain America, but meant Captain Marvel.
I mean, I'm glad she's a woman and not another man who's a captain, but...
Mm-hmm.
So confused.
I know. And they call Captain America Cap. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, so Captain Marvel's...
she doesn't get
Carol?
Carol.
That is her name, though. But
oh, okay.
Are they just gonna, that's not like a cool nickname.
No.
You know?
No.
I don't know. And they don't really call her Captain Marvel in the film anyway. But,
okay.
But you know, that's who she is. Just
all
in
right.
case. But of course, many superheroes have many names. We are going to firstly be talking about Superman, which talk about someone who has many names.
Superman!
Superman or Clark Kent. He also has a, what is his other?
Kal-El?
Yeah, that, his other name.
Or is that his dad? I can never remember.
His dad is Jor-El.
Yeah, thank you.
So, the other one. His son. So, the reason I am bringing up Superman is because I was thinking, okay, Captain Marvel... what kind of reminds me of Captain Marvel? And with the outfit of Captain Marvel being the patriotic red, white, and blue, and being, you know, an alien and whatnot, it made me think of Superman. And also because Superman is this very patriotic, like, good doer force. I mean, obviously the other superheroes aren't villains, but there's, like, this level of wanting to do the right thing, you know, and
mm-hmm.
loyalty
mm-hmm.
and whatnot. It also reminds me of Captain America. So I will be talking about some comparisons between Superman and Captain Marvel with the characters. But I just want to briefly touch on Superman because I had never seen Superman. This is the original one, the 1978, which is Christopher Reeve playing Superman / Clark Kent.
Isn't Superman DC?
Yes.
Okay.
It is DC.
Just making sure.
Yeah. So we're mixing universes.
Yeah,
here.
You are.
And I also don't... didn't really want to see the other Supermans, so I thought I would just see the original, and you know,
or sit through all of the seasons of Smallville.
Oh God!
Just for the one podcast.
No, thank you. I remember when Smallville came out, and all I remember is seeing clips, and I'm like, I don't want to watch this. I have no desire to. And he just like slept in a bathtub and all that, and I was like, nope, not my jam. Very weird. Not my thing. I guess I could have just watched all of the episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
But I also wasn't going to put myself through
that. Or Lois and Clark.
Oh, God, what's that?
Have you heard of Lois and Clark? So that was in the 90s. That was Terry Hatcher played Lois Lane. Uh-huh. And I can picture him, but I can't think who was Superman. So, yeah, it was just a different take on the Superman story. Lois and Clark.
Oh, nope.
Dean.
Like Lewis and Clark.
Dean. What is his name? I'll look it up.
Okay.
People are screaming at me right now.
Probably yelling in their cars like I do with podcasts.
Dean Cain. There we go.
Oh, there we go. Nice. You didn't even have to find that. It just came to you.
The internet, it's a beautiful thing. Except when it's scary.
Oh, yeah. That happens too often. But also in this film, Gene Hackman plays Lex Luthor. And I did not recognize him, but Marlon Brando plays Jor-El,
mm-hmm.
who's Superman's dad. And, okay, if you didn't know, this film is about the alien orphan Superman, who is sent from his dying planet to Earth, where he grows up to become the Earth's greatest and first, I guess, superhero. Superman is very iconic to me. Just the whole costume, the whole getup. And when I think of what a superhero is, I think of Superman. Even though there are many other heroes that have come out since then and before Superman and whatnot.
Even though he wears his underpants over his tights.
Yeah, well, that's like the classic, that's what a superhero is, who just wears their underwear over their pants and wears spandex.
Yep.
And has a cape.
Has a cape. Takes off his glasses, unrecognizable.
Exactly. All of the tropes that I think of are mm-hmm. just that.
So I have a question for you about this movie. So 1978 came out way before you were born.
Yes.
What did you think? How did it hold up? I mean, obviously, you know, we've got telephones with cords on them, and we've got all kinds
we
of, you know,
advanced.
No laptops, not even really desktops. So
I know. In the newsroom, they use typewriters.
Yeah. How was it watching a kind of a period piece?
Oh, gosh. You know, I watched it, and I really feel like, I was like, man, this film probably just blew people's minds. Like the opening scene when they're with like Superman's family before he gets sent off as a baby to Earth.
Uh-huh.
What's the name of his planet? Krypton?
No, I don't think it's Krypton, is it? Oh, let me look that up too. See,
okay. Thank you, Sarah.
I should know these things. I'm only half a nerd.
Only half. Hmm.
And I'm proud of my nerd half, but I'm really only half a nerd because I don't remember all the details.
Ah, yes. There also is a lot of Supermans. But when I watched the beginning when he's on his planet, I was very impressed by the effects, actually. And it could be because now I'm so used to CGI that seeing anything different than just CGI, I'm like, wow, that's so cool. You know?
Yeah, like, I mean, they really had to do interesting ways of doing things.
I was very impressed, even though there are parts where I'm like, well, that's just a projection on a screen. Even though that happened, I was still very impressed. It's at least all the parts when they're on his home planet.
Okay, you were right. It is Krypton.
Oh, okay. Nice. Maybe I'm
I was just confused with kryptonite, you know. Like,
oh, yeah. Well, maybe I'm more like a quarter nerd.
Hey, own it.
Yeah, I'll take it. But when they're on the planet and like with his parents and all, and the planet is like being destroyed, I was so impressed. I thought it was super cool. I really liked it. And I would say the pacing is obviously slower than modern films, but I was okay with it. I'm a relatively patient person, but I could deal with it.
Quite as many things get destroyed, I think, as do in current superhero movies.
A lot fewer explosions.
Yeah.
And the acting, there were definitely corny parts. It was very corny, but I could still deal with it. And, of course, there's the fact that he just puts on glasses and no one recognizes him, which I was like, ugh. God,
have you seen that meme on Facebook where it's Lois Lane looking at she's on Facebook and it says there's a picture of Superman and it says, do you want to tag Clark Kent? And she's like, oh. It's really dumb, but makes me laugh.
That's a good one. I mean, he does act differently between being Superman and Clark Kent, which just aggravated me because I'm like, why, man? Just you could fly, have confidence,
right?
You could fly and write. Just like, you know, I don't know, let her know who you are. But that's the classic conflict with Superman and Lois Lane. Yep. So, you know. But I still enjoyed it. There is one scene, though, that did not age well. And it made me so mad. There's this part when the villain, Lex Luthor, needs to change the coordinates of the missile that the military has. And so to distract them, he fakes a car accident.
Oh.
And then his, like, I don't know, female counterpart, whose name I don't remember. Her name is kind of gibberish to me. But her character then, like, is on the ground, like, faking like she was a victim of the car crash so that his other henchmen can sneak in behind the military that's distracted and, like, change the coordinates, you know?
Uh-huh.
So she's, like, on the ground, and then all the military guys went up and were like, oh, no, like, a car accident. We have to call an ambulance. And they're like, she's, like, a beautiful woman. And so they're like, well, like, the captain is like, well, you know, I would probably suggest some... what is it, like, vigorous heart pumping and mouth-to-mouth.
Ew.
But then it gets worse. And then he's like, okay, well, you know, I'll do it. I wouldn't have my men do anything that I wouldn't do. And then when he goes to do that, he's like, all right, men, and they all circle around her so that you can't see what's happening so that you can assume he's doing mouth-to-mouth. But I was like, oh, my God.
It's a little too rapey for me.
Exactly. I was like, oh, gang rape. That's nice.
Yeah.
I was so upset. And I was like, that did not age well. But then, of course, you know, it happens and no one says anything. You know, like, oh, yeah, that's fine. Yay, we changed the coordinates of the bomb.
Yeah.
And I was like triggered. I couldn't deal with it. I told everyone in my house. I told everyone that I talked to about it. I couldn't deal.
No, I don't blame you.
Freaked me out.
You probably could use, did you get a therapy session?
No, that's just too expensive. But if I was more on Twitter, I would have Twitter ranted.
Yeah.
But I avoid that. For the hate. But overall, I would still say it holds up. I think it's a good movie, and if you haven't seen it, you know, I think you should, at least in honor of Christopher Reeve. So yeah. I would highly suggest. And I will talk a little bit later about comparisons, but again, Superman, truth, justice, and the American way. What a guy. And tights. And underwear over your tights.
And a belt over your underwear.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh.
It's a good thing he wears it under his outfit, because there's regular clothes. There's no way he could change quickly.
There's no. Yeah, exactly. Just in a unitard. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back and start talking about Captain Marvel.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the Gold Standard in Music Podcast.
Welcome back to the movie podcast. We are talking about Captain Marvel and Superman. Before the break, I talked about the 1978 version of Superman, and I think Sarah and I had some good laughs about the outfit choice of Superman.
Oh, yeah.
And I just want to move on to talk about Captain Marvel. Again, one of the reasons I thought about watching both films is some of it is the costume choices, I think. I mean, not as humorous with Captain Marvel as Superman. It's not completely... hilarious unitards. But again, the classic Captain Marvel has the patriotic colors. And I think to me, Captain Marvel is this uber, uber powerful superhero, which she is indeed in the comics and in the films. So I don't know. It kind of reminded me of Superman. It was sort of like the Superman of the Marvel universe. But Captain Marvel, it is out in theaters now. And it is about Carol Danvers, who becomes the universe's most powerful hero when Earth
is... kind of a boring alien name, Carol.
I know. Well, she has multiple names.
Oh, okay.
And it happens when Earth is caught in the middle of a galactic war between the two alien races. The war going on is between the Kree, which is, at the beginning of the film, Captain Marvel's people, or at least as far as she knows, and the Skrull, who are sort of like these green-skinned beings who have the skill of turning into doppelgangers of anyone they see. This film really allows Marvel Studios to touch on the Kree and Skrull war in film form, which comes bigger in the comics. And it is an origin story of Carol Danvers, who is Captain Marvel, but also known as Veers.
Veers?
Mm-hmm. That's her alien name.
Like she veers off course?
Veers, like Cheers. Veers?
Yeah.
Yep. It's taken from her name, Danvers. And they take just the Veers. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So you get the origin story of Carol, and you get to see, it's sort of like an amnesia story, you know, where she doesn't remember certain things, and you get a lot of flashbacks and whatnot. So it is interesting. Brie Larson plays Veers, a.k.a. Carol Danvers, a.k.a. Captain Marvel. You also get Samuel Jackson with the help of some computer CGI. He becomes a young Nick Fury with two eyes, not just one.
Yeah.
You also have Ben Mendelsohn as Talos, Lashana Lynch as Maria Rambeau, Annette Bening as Dr. Wendy Lawson. You also have Clark Gregg as Phil Coulson and Jude Law as young, I'm going to say this name wrong, young Rog, who is a Kree alien.
Oh, sure.
I have, from the trailer, thought Jude Law would be more of a character in this. He was not as much as I thought.
Hmm.
And it is directed by Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck. And it, for you, those of you who didn't know, Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck have been known to direct indie films more.
Hmm.
So it was definitely an interesting choice to see their touch in this film. And once I learned that they mostly directed indie films, it made a lot more sense. It's more character-driven of a story than some of the other, you know, Marvel films, mostly because I think because it's an origin story, you get a lot more character development and storytelling. Also, there are parts where it feels more indie than what you would expect from the Disney-owned Marvel universe.
They've kind of gone this, like, the big blockbusters have been having, like, more indie directors doing their films lately. It's interesting, kind of, you know.
I sort of got that feel a little bit from Ant-Man, just like a touch.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like a more low budget. Also, Deadpool also was like a more low budget of the superhero films. So I get the feel a little bit. Although they put a bunch into Captain Marvel of like promotion and whatnot, and they really pumped it up and were really heavy pushing it. So it's sort of a bit more indie because of the direct. The directors, but again, it has the machine of Marvel, so they're still making it big.
There are
still lots of big explosions.
I was gonna say, they're not gonna stop blowing stuff up.
Oh no, there are tons of those. I mean, she shoots like light forces out of her hands.
Oh,
like she glows. It's big. In general, I want to say some of the I don't know the pros of this film, but also something that I noticed involving the plot. I kind of felt like it got better as the movie progressed.
Okay.
And I think I will probably be bringing this up throughout my telling of this film and my impressions of it. But from the beginning, I kind of thought I knew it was going to happen. I knew it was like an amnesia story. And you start with Carol as Veers, and she is with Jude Law. And you know immediately that she has amnesia. She doesn't really know how she got there. She is fighting. She's being trained by Jude Law. And I kind of felt that it might be a little bit predictable. She's sort of sassy in her speech, and she's a little bit more humorous, which as soon as I got that, I was like, okay, this is not necessarily like Superman.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I'm buying it yet. I wasn't sure where it was going to turn.
What
you
year
know?
Does this take place in?
Is set in the 90s.
Okay.
So you do get that. I mean, in the beginning, you don't know, but she's on an alien planet. But then she lands in Earth. She busts through the roof of a Blockbuster. So you're immediately in the 90s,
That's a store, kids. They're not around any longer.
For those of you who didn't, I did hear the last Blockbuster closed. They were in Australia, I believe.
Yep.
No more Blockbuster, which is sad. But yeah, so you used to go there to rent movies.
Yes. It's like Redbox. Uncondensed version of Redbox, right?
Yes. Yes, where it's not just a machine, but actual people worked there.
Yes.
They wore uniforms and whatnot. Brick and mortar. But yeah, so she comes in the 90s, and then you immediately get introduced to young Samuel Jackson as Nick Fury.
Mm-hmm.
In general, I just like watching Samuel Jackson be cool. I just like him acting cool. No matter what it is, no matter what role, you know, it's sort of like because they make him look younger, you get almost like a Pulp Fiction vibe, you know, which I'm totally down for anytime. And they actually do a pretty good job. I wouldn't say it looks super awkward. He looks good. You know,
that's good.
It's very convincing.
Yeah.
But they really push the 90s with the music and, again, the blockbuster and the fashion. She wears flannel and a Nine Inch Nails shirt.
Excellent. Doc Martens.
I don't remember. Doc Martens are still kind of in, though.
Yeah.
In certain circles.
Yeah.
You know, it's a thing. But yeah, they really pushed that. And just as it progressed, as you go from the alien planet, which I wasn't really buying, once she lands on Earth and meets Nick Fury, I think it just gets a lot better because that's when you get a little bit more of the twists. And because you have Samuel Jackson, who, again, I just like watching. And also because he's younger, you have cool Samuel Jackson, but you also have sort of a bit more goofy Nick Fury. He's younger. He's not jaded as much. He hasn't lost an eye yet.
He still has two eyes, yeah. Right? Yeah.
He can totally see all around him. Uh-huh. So he's like a bit more jokey and lighthearted. You also, now I can't remember. This is bad. But what's his agent? Is it Agent Smith or Colton? Or what's the name of the other agent that's with him?
Oh, are you talking about the Greg Evans character?
Potentially. I don't know who that is.
Oh, is he an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yes.
Yeah, Agent Coulson.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Agent Coulson, who in the other film had been sadly killed off. But because this is in the 90s, he's still there.
Mm-hmm.
So when he came on screen, everyone in the theaters just cheered. They were so happy to see him. So he comes back and you get this, like, it's like Nick Fury as a freshman versus Nick Fury as a senior in college. He has hope.
Does he get stuck in a locker?
No, I mean, well, he loses an eye, but,
yeah.
You know, he gets banged up. But he is, like, more jovial, you know?
Yeah.
He's not as, like, mission-focused, where he's like, I have to do this and, you know, assemble the Avengers. He's more like, oh, what's going on? Oh, aliens. Oh, that's cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed seeing that. And because it's also set in the 90s, you get how Captain Marvel fits into the Marvel universe, but can also still be a standalone character. So not just trying to squeeze her into like the modern day Marvel storyline. You also kind of get the idea of like what happened to Captain Marvel to like take her off the playing field so she's not in the other Marvel films. And so, you know, you get like the whole narrative, the hero, you get the past, you get all of the flashbacks. And I enjoyed that. I mean, if you don't really like, some people don't like flashbacks, but
yeah,
I was okay with it.
If they're well done, I don't mind them.
Yeah. True. Also, there's just a big part where it's like they're pushing the feminism aspect of it, but I didn't feel like it was as strong as Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
I just kept thinking like, oh, and she persisted. You know, like no matter what happened, she persisted.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, Wonder Woman has Amazons. How much more of a feminist
can
you get?
Yeah. And I don't think that's necessarily the fault of like Gal Gadot or anyone else in Wonder Woman. It's just that's how the character is set up to be. But in Wonder Woman, you get a lot more lines of like being like, well, why can't women do this? Or why can't women do that? Right. I don't get it. I'm not like beaten over the head with it in Captain Marvel. It's more just like, she gets knocked down. People think that she can't do it. She becomes a pilot in the Air Force. And it's kind of like, oh, women can't fly. But she continues on, you know.
She persists. Yep.
Yes, she persisted. And I really, really enjoyed that view of female empowerment in this film. And I appreciated how they did it. It didn't feel too, I don't know, knock you over with it. So I enjoyed that. Also, again, I thought that Captain Marvel would be more straight-laced and serious like Superman. Yet I found that she had more humor. And a little more sass, a little more wisecracks, or at least that were written in for her. And it is more character-driven, which, you know, I enjoyed. I like Brie Larson. I believe she's an Oscar-winning actress.
Did she win for Room?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I feel like I'm going to take a break before I go into this, because after the break, I want to talk about my opinions on Brie Larson in this film. And just, she stepped into some big shoes, I would say.
Okay.
So we're going to take a quick break.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the movie podcast. We are continuing to talk about the blockbuster Marvel film, Captain Marvel.
Not the blockbuster store. No. Although we did talk about that earlier.
She does bust into a blockbuster.
Yeah. Bust into a blockbuster. Aren't you glad I'm not with you most of the time? Oh, so you can just get your thoughts out.
There would be so many more puns. Okay, so I want to talk about Brie Larson. She plays Captain Marvel, or Carol, or however you want to call her. And this film is meant to be more character-driven, especially because it's an origin story, and a lot of it is told in flashback. You are supposed to concentrate more on who she is, and some of that is difficult because she doesn't know who she is.
Right.
The character does not remember. And I think some of this could be because it's an amnesia story. It's like, I can't connect to a character that has an amnesia story because I've never had amnesia. Mm. And she's an alien, and she has superpowers, so it makes it more difficult to emotionally connect.
Right.
But I felt that the film was lacking some of the heart, and I wasn't, like, emotionally stirred by it. I mean, it's a Marvel film, but the other characters in the movie, for example, her friend who is, what is her name? Maria Rambeau. I believed that character way more than I believed Brie Larson as Captain Marvel. I think some of that is partly because the Maria character has an emotional storyline that I can just connect with more. But I felt like there were lines that were written for Brie Larson, like the classic, like, I just don't know who I am, and I'm trying to figure out who I am. I just didn't buy it. I didn't feel emotionally connected to it, because she's kind of like this serious character, but she's also going through a turmoil of identity, and so I felt like trying to combine those together, I didn't feel it, you know? I don't know. They tried to go for sass with her and Nick Fury, and I didn't really believe the sass. I felt like Nick Fury was more jokey, and Captain Marvel came off as kind of like, I felt like they were just misses. Like, she was going for sass, and I just didn't get it. I didn't feel it. I don't think it landed. So I felt a little bit off-put by that, and because of that, it felt cold a little bit, because I didn't feel like the protagonist was expressing enough emotion. But I don't know. That was my opinion of it. I don't think she played that as well as she could have. And I'm not sure if that's a combination of, like, not having the right direction of where the character is supposed to go. Or if, I don't know if there was a way that it was written. I'm not sure. I don't want to pin it completely on Larson, but I felt a little bit, undersold, you know? I don't really think I got it. She's maybe a little bit too stiff, perhaps, at times, at least for the way they were trying to make her seem sort of witty. I don't know. Another thing I want to mention about Brie Larson, I feel a little difficult to say this because I don't want to just concentrate on, like, how women look. But when you're looking at Brie Larson versus, like, Gal Gadot or even Scarlett Johansson, other women who play heroes in the Marvel Universe, when I first saw Brie Larson and saw that she was portraying Captain Marvel, I didn't buy it. I guess I just felt like she didn't look like a superhero in my mind.
Okay.
She was sort of like, she's pretty, obviously, but she's not like a supermodel, you know, or the other heroes that are like taller and bigger and more like strong. You know, she's not like a Captain America. So I felt like,
wasn't Captain America at first.
That's true. That's true. But he becomes, you know, like hunky Captain America. And I guess I just didn't see her and believe that.
She didn't feel like she was strong enough looking
Or like striking enough, maybe.
Mm.
But I will say that was sort of a jerk judgment. I can admit that I was wrong. And I think at the end, I think I was sold on it. Not necessarily because of her acting and line delivery, which I think was a little bit off. But the thing about Captain Marvel is not that she was ever the best. She is not, when she, in flashbacks and whatnot, she is not the most standout person. But what makes her powerful is that she doesn't give up. And I think that is potentially a better message than like, oh, Wonder Woman, she's really strong and she's the best warrior they have. And she's also like royalty, you know, like Thor, you know, royalty and the strongest. And he kind of misbehaves, but he's still super uber powerful. And Captain Marvel, although she has all this power, she does not become super powerful until she really like finds her inner strength. And in the end, it's not because she looks super strong. Her outfit's not super skimpy and showy. It's just because she, you know, she persists.
Yeah.
And she never gives up. And despite the times that she's knocked down or the times they say women can't do this, women can't do that, she never gives up. And I think that's what makes the character of Captain Marvel the most impressive. And I think, honestly, the most authentic female empowerment story, more than like some of the other ones we've seen attempted, mostly Wonder Woman, in my opinion.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, Brie Larson. I judged your appearance.
You're not the first.
I was wrong. I bought it in the end. You know, I didn't think I would buy it. I didn't think you looked like a superhero. You convinced me wrong.
You can admit when you're wrong. Yeah. I appreciate that. Quick question for you. So this was filmed before Stan Lee died. So there's still a Stan Lee cameo. Yeah,
there is. Yes.
Okay.
Even do a little tribute to him in the, at least when I saw it in theaters, and everyone in the theater cheered.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I want to say, you see how this is going to fit into the Avengers series. So next month is the next Avengers film. Also, I want to mention this is the 21st of the Marvel superhero films.
I've seen about three of them. I just can't keep up. I keep saying this. I just need the Cliff's Notes because there's so much. I can't keep track of the characters. And I know this just makes me sound like, you know, hey, you kids, get off my lawn. But hey, you Avengers, get off my lawn. I can't keep up with you.
You can't move them. They will keep showing up.
I know.
But yeah, I think they're just going to keep pumping them out. And honestly, 21 is too many.
It's not even something you can binge watch over a weekend.
No, you can't.
I need a whole summer.
Yeah, exactly. But they've already made the next Avengers. So I'm really curious to see how Captain Marvel will fit in with the other Avengers. I think she's been out of the picture for so long. I'm very curious. And of course, there's two end credit scenes.
One
is like end credits and one is like post credits. So I suggest both. The post credit scene is not as necessary. It's just kind of fun.
When people get up and walk out of Marvel credits, I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah, Do you not know? You clearly don't know.
Yeah. They should lock the doors.
I mean, I've only seen like three. Well, I've seen more than three, and I still know. You don't leave before the credits are over.
No, you don't. And in my final comparison between Superman and Captain Marvel, and also kind of Captain America, I think Captain Marvel's probably more like Captain America in the sense of like uber strength and patriotism, because she is part of the military. That is part of her character, like Captain America. And then like Superman, she has the super duper uber powerful abilities. She is probably, at least thus far in the film, the most powerful. Although I would say the Scarlet Witch, or whatever her name is, played by the Olsen sister, she is extremely powerful as well. But I think Captain Marvel is potentially stronger. And that, at least to me, is similar to Superman. But she's a little bit, Superman and Captain America are kind of like sticks in the muds, you know, they'll call you out on things like, oh, don't swear, you know, and whatnot. And I stand for American justice and American values,
which is funny for Superman considering, I guess it's his adopted country, but it's not like, you know,
oh, yeah.
And he did grow up here, but you know, you're not technically American.
Right. And Captain Marvel's not like punching Nazis like, you know, Captain America.
Yeah.
So she is patriotic, but she has more sass. And she has a little bit more like, you know, like people in the movie literally say to her, like, why don't you smile more? And she's like, I don't have to.
Or she, Thank you. Like, stop telling women to smile.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. She doesn't necessarily say that, but she doesn't even have to. She's like, I'm not even going to give you an answer.
I'm not even going to dignify that.
Yeah.
You go, Captain Marvel.
Yeah. And so she's like a little bit more like, I don't know, like, I don't care that much. You know, I'm going to do my own thing and I'm going to save people that I think are worth saving and I'm loyal.
And I don't care what you think of me.
Exactly. So I think she's like a little bit less traditionally stiff and a little bit more progressive, you know, like the 90s women's movement.
Yeah.
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 So I think she fits right into that. I think you should see this movie. I think you will enjoy it. Honestly, I'm going to see the next Avengers, not because I really want to, because I have to see how it ends. Probably
will
like
you
most people.
Ever see how it ends?
Oh, I mean, they also have made.
You're
trailer
young.
For
You've
the-
got like. 70 more years where you could be forced to watch Marvel movies.
70 more Marvel movies ahead of me. I mean, they already are preparing the next Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So it'll keep going forever. I'll probably at least see some of them. But stepping into the next one, here we go. Captain Marvel going into the next film. I'm interested to see. I like her. Brie Larson convinced me a little bit more of her as superhero. I think still she's a little awkward, some of her line delivery. I didn't completely buy the emotion, but I still like Nick Fury. I want to see what happens next.
All right. And, good enough.
Yep. And Sarah, you should see it. I highly suggest
it. Someday I will.
After you catch up with the 20 other ones. Good luck.
Thanks. I'm so far behind, I'll never catch up.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Just Wikipedia.
Yeah.
You'll get there. So that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening. And please tune in to the next GSMC Movie Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.